Yes, nothing is by accident with God. And I want to tell you, first of all, when God speaks to us, just like he's about to do now, when the word is going forth, God sends an influence with his words. I want you to listen. When God speaks to us, when he speaks to us, he sends an influence with his words. And that influence is called the anointing. And that anointing is here to help you receive the word of God. Now know this also, the devil, the enemy, also sends an influence. And his influence is fear, doubt, worry, unbelief. And he also wants to influence you as well. Just know the difference. Have the discernment between which influence you're being influenced under. God influences us by and through the anointing, through his word. And anything apart from that is from the enemy, especially if you're being influenced with some fear, some anxiety, worry, doubt, I don't know, just unrest, unable to sleep, torment. That's all influences from the enemy. But just know that they're just influences. And as fast as they come on, that's as fast as they can go. They can leave you, all because of one thing, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. So today we're going to be talking about letting go of what the blood has cleansed. Letting go, releasing what the blood has cleansed. There's an enemy to our righteousness, but our righteousness doesn't waver. It's been settled. Once there's a ringing up here, guys. There's a ringing. Once you get saved, you're made righteous, and nothing can change that. You're the righteousness of God through and in Christ Jesus. And for those of you that just gave your life this morning, you received Jesus, know this. You have enough power now in your life as a believer where the enemy can't push you around, can't influence you, can't monopolize your life like he would want to. He wants you to think he's powerful. He's nothing. You have power now that you receive Christ. And you may say, well, how is that? Well, when you came up here and confessed Jesus and asked him to come in, the greater one, the Bible says, the greater one, I call him the greatest one, came into your heart. And so you have power now to fight the things that come against you. So my advice to you and to all of us is use that power. You may say, well, I'm unskilled. I don't even know how. Get into the word. And know this. Just use the name of Jesus. When something comes against you, say that word. In the middle of the night, driving, at school, on your job, something comes against you, Jesus, help. And if it's persistence, do what we sang about this morning. Say, the blood is against you. Yeah, that'll set him running because he hates the blood. He fears the blood. It sets him running every time. So through all of our testings and trials of life we go through, we have to make sure we check these foundational truths, especially about our righteousness. Make sure they're in check, they're in place, because the enemy would love to make you unsettled as far as your righteousness and who you are. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 11. 2 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 11. I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, to keep Satan from taking advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. So that's one of his devices. He'll try to come and take advantage of you. Advantage when you're down and out, advantage at your weak place. But we are not ignorant of his devices. But know this, though. If you're ignorant of what the word says, then that gives him an entry point to take an advantage of you because you don't know. I told the ladies in the prison, you know, a lot of them will come to class, to church service, without their Bibles. And it's almost like you're missing the, you're not carrying your sword. How are you going to see what the word says? Because you don't want the enemy to take an upper hand and advantage with you by being ignorant. And start in the Psalms, start in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, just to begin. And don't feel like you've got to read through the whole Bible, but just get one scripture on the inside of you and just chew on that, meditate on that, and then go from there, grow on that. But the enemy wants to take advantage of us because that's just who he is. He's a punk. And if we're not aware and watchful of his devices, he can get what he shouldn't have. But we're the ones that prevent him from taking that, from doing that, by not being ignorant. Now, that's not a put down. Ignorant just means not knowing. You just don't know. Yeah, we just don't know. What does the word say? What's that scripture about the mind? What's that scripture about being a new creature? So we need to know these things. So when he comes against you, you got your ammunition and your belt loaded. Yeah, and you got your weapon of war. And you answer him with the word, always. Not with a thought, not just thinking something. Always answer the devil with the word of God. That'll send him on his way every time, every time, every time. Because that's what Jesus did in the desert, didn't he? Yeah, he just gave him the word. Jesus didn't have to flex his muscles, you know. Do you know who you're talking to? I'm Jesus, the son of, you know. Not. He didn't have to prove his credentials. He just said, it is written. He didn't even have to raise his voice in a deep, thunderous sound. Satan, do you? He just said, it is written. You know how some of us, when we get overheated and just, you know, you start shouting and letting everybody know who's boss? You don't have to. Jesus didn't have to prove. He knew exactly who he was. He knew that he can just go and call on legions of angels to come minister to him and catch him. He was quite comfortable in who he was, and he didn't have to prove it. He just said, it is written. And you would think Satan would have gotten the hint after the first attempt, but it took three times for the knucklehead to finally disperse and leave, you know. And so if the enemy did that to Jesus, guess what? He's going to try and come to us and take advantage of us. So we have to be on top of, you have to be on top of your game, so to speak, in that area. And how does he take advantage of us? It's through the ignorance of it. You don't have to turn there. You can just listen if you want to. Ephesians 4, verse 27 says, do not give the devil an advantage or an opportunity to defeat you. So don't give him that advantage or an open door to defeat you. Because know this, the devil can't do whatever he desires to do to you anytime he wants. He can't. He can't do that. He doesn't have that kind of power. In order for him to have that kind of power over us, he has to deceive us first. Yeah, he has to deceive us first, for otherwise we're going to see him coming. So just like the snake that he is, he'll try and deceive and lie and even take something that's truth and lie through that to deceive you. And so we have to guard ourselves and make sure that he's not getting any advantage over us whatsoever. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. The accuser. Anytime you feel like you're being accused, something's being thrown up to your face, a sense of condemnation, just know where that's coming from. God will never point a finger, even after you've missed it big time. God will never bring condemnation or make you feel bad or push you low or make you just, you know, that heaviness. That does not come from your Father. That comes from the enemy. Because in Revelation 12, 10 says, "For the accuser of our believing brothers and sisters has been thrown down." I'm so glad they wrote that, they inserted that. Before they went on to say anything, oh, by the way, he's the accuser of the brethren, but guess what? He's been thrown down. He was thrown down, kicked out of heaven. Thank you. Yeah, hallelujah for that. Jesus for putting that in. Yeah, he's thrown down, which means defeated. You know, in the boxing ring, when they're thrown down and the referee is counting to 10, out, out. That's the deceiver, that's Satan. Out, been thrown down once and for all. "For the accuser of the brethren, who has been thrown down, accuses them and keeps bringing charges of sinful behavior against them before our God day and night." So he's just like that, going before God day and night, accusing you before God, you know. I'm sure God has gotten these divine earplugs. He's probably put in his ears and you know, is just like, I'm not listening to that anymore, you know. Day and night, the Bible says, continually, he goes before God and accuses you before God. Did you see what they just did? Did you see that? Lord, and they're a Christian? He goes before God continually, pointing the finger and accusing us. And that's just his job. But know this, accusations are just words. They're just merely words. And how do we answer accusations when somebody accuses you? You answer them with words of righteousness. With words of righteousness. I'm the righteousness of God through and in Christ Jesus. That's my past. That happened, what, 10 years ago? Yeah, I'm the righteousness of God. You answer back with words of righteousness. You're in right standing. The moment you confess 1 John 1:9, the very second you confess that, which says, 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Not a week later, not a month later. The moment, everybody say the moment. The moment you speak it, you ask forgiveness. You're washed, you're cleansed, you're forgiven. You made into the righteousness, you're in right standing again with your Father. 1 John 1:9 says that. God doesn't think about it. He doesn't consult the Son and the Holy Ghost and say, well, what do you think? Should we give them another, you know? After all, this is the 9th time already they're doing this. And it doesn't look like, you know. God, the moment you confess it and say, Father, I missed it. I did this. God washes it, erases it, scrubs it clean, gone. Gone from you, gone completely. As if, get this part, as if you never missed it. As if you never committed it. That's the God we serve. That's our faith. That's our God. That's our righteousness. That's what righteousness does for us. As if you never did that. Now, on the other hand, don't play into that and use that as an excuse to commit your sin. And say, well, I know God will forgive me. And I know on down the line. So I'll just do it one more time. Just one more time. One more snort. One more injection, Lord. I mean, I'm going through a rough patch right now. Just one more time. No. But the word says, just in case, if and when you sin, go to 1 John 1:9. And you have an advocate who cleanses you from all unrighteousness. His blood cleanses us as if we never sinned. So you don't have to live under a dark cloud all week because of what you did. You don't have to walk around in condemnation. And even after you've confessed it, if you really believe, 1 John 1:9, if you really believe that, that God instantly cleanses you and forgives you and doesn't remember it anymore, if you really believe that, then you'll stop talking about those sins. You'll stop talking about that past. You'll stop rehashing it over and over and over again. You know, we go into the prison and I counsel ladies. And, you know, and I'll counsel them one session. And then a month later, 3 weeks later, they're bringing up the same thing. And I'm like, why are you talking again about this? We prayed. You said 1 John 1:9, he cleansed you. God forgot about that. Why are you rehashing that and drudging it back up again? The blood covered that. But a lot of times people don't believe that truly in their heart. They're hoping so. And so they'll justify it or, you know, think, well, I've got to talk about it. I have to release it. And, you know, counseling is good. Counseling can bring healing. But if you keep bringing the same subject up and replaying it over and over again, you're not healing. You're bringing it more inside. It's just being more drudged in you more and more. You're letting it in more by talking about it, something that the blood has completely washed and cleaned. And, you know, and it's good to talk about these things once, but anything after that is just venting. Yeah. It's just venting. You've been through a bad divorce and you're still talking about it 7-8 years later. It's time to move on and heal from that. Because if you've asked forgiveness for your part in what was done to you, stop talking about it. Stop rehearsing it. Stop hashing it over and over again in your mind. Because when you do that, it drives that thing in further on the inside of you. It drives it in deeper. And it doesn't bring healing because you're just living it all over again. And God washes it away. Yeah. He doesn't remember those things at all. At all. The moment you confess your sins, God forgives and cleanses you and forgets about it. Anything after that is a false accusation. It's false. You may say, yeah, but I used to do that. I just committed that. It's a false accusation. Once it's under the blood, it's false accusation. And guess what? False accusations won't stand up in court. And especially in heaven's court of law, you get thrown out. In the natural court, try and take a false accusation against someone. Get this guy out of here. Yeah, there's no substance to your charge or what you're accusing this person of. It's like, next, you know, not, you're wasting my time. And that's what, when the enemy, again, goes before God, accusing us, and you have placed your past, your sin, under the blood of Jesus, it's a false accusation. It's false. There's no truth to it. There's no way to it. Nothing. False. Yeah. Has no bearing to it whatsoever. Accusations are replays of the devil designed to hold you hostage and just to move you off of your righteousness. That's all they are. And most of the time, they're false accusations. But we buy into them and get condemned because we know we committed them, we did them, especially when there's some big ones. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Once it's been confessed and cleansed by God. Once the blood of Jesus is applied over your sins, they're completely erased, washed, eradicated, as if you never committed them. I'm going to keep saying that over and over again to drive that into you. Because we get weepy, we start crying, especially if it was us that done it. We'd done somebody wrong in a relationship. Or, you know, just of all the horrible things that we say and we do within a family, within relationships, within a marriage. But once you confess it, that's it. Yeah, washed away clean, a clean slate. That's what the blood does. Now, having said that, none of us have the right to recall or drudge up another person's sin. The sin that's been placed under the blood, if 5 years ago that person did that horrific thing to your family or to your son or daughter, or yeah, it was horrible, it was horrific, whether it was, you know, just fill in the blank, some ugly stuff being done. Once it's confessed and the blood of Jesus covers it and they confess it and ask forgiveness, they may even come to you and ask forgiveness. They may never. But once it's under the blood, it's a dangerous place for you, for us as Christians, because we know better. Now, the outside world doesn't know this. But for us to recall that sin, oh, I remember what they did. Oh, you better watch out for him. Yeah, and then you even go talking about it with someone. That's dangerous ground, because you know what you're doing? You're taking side with Satan. You're coming on his side, joining forces with him, and you're joined in on the harmony of becoming an accuser as well. So what's under the blood? Don't touch it. Keep it zipped. Mm-mm. Somebody will like be, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about what they did? Well, they just started going to your church. Zip it, shut it. I don't want to hear. It's under the blood. It never happened. It never happened. That's what the blood does. Yeah. And we may be like, oh, but we, you know, as in our human flesh, we want to make people pay, feel some hurt. I want you to feel some pain for what you did to my kids. How you molested my daughter, you're not going to get away with it. What you did to my boy, he studied 4 years for this, and you did that to him, and he lost his promotion and whatnot. Now he's in Burger King working for minimum wage, all because of you. We want to make people pay for it. That's not Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus paid for it for us. And so what's under the blood, it's covered. And so catch yourself, watch yourself. And I had one lady tell me, she says, well, it's just, I just talked to my husband about it, thinking that that makes it okay. Yeah, you're one, you know, you're one flesh. But even discussing it with your spouse doesn't make it okay. Jesus doesn't go, it's all right, they're, you know, they're just talking, they're just discussing. Don't bring that stuff up to anybody. Not to your spouse, not to your best friend, and especially to God, because he'll rebuke you. Say, I don't know what you're talking about. That was under the blood years ago. So we can't bring these things up on one another. How big of a grand scale they are, these sins. It's a dangerous place for a Christian to be. You're putting yourself out there, and don't ever do that. Because what the blood has cleansed, you're authorized to forget it and let it go. Because what God forgets, we forget. Can we all just say that? What God forgets, we forget. Yeah, it's that simple. If God forgets it, we forget it too. And if you're having a hard time forgetting, just ask him to give you some amnesia. You know, just give me Lord amnesia in that area, in that regard, because this thing's just replaying over and over again in my mind. And I don't want to, you know. Before I even came to Jesus, man, I went through a harrowing experience. And, you know, and I could use that experience to dangle it over some people in my life. And if I hadn't come to Jesus, I probably would have been bitter. I probably would have been an activist out there advocating for this particular type of justice being brought to this situation. But, you know, before I knew Jesus, I was so tormented in my mind because of what took place, what this person did to me. So tormented. I went to bed with it. I woke up with it. I sat down and had my lunch with it. It woke me up in the middle of the night and talked with me. It was just continually over and the replay over and over in my mind, and I couldn't shut it down. I tried to keep busy. I got involved with sports. That helped a little bit. But, you know, it's a horrible, it's torment. It's torment to have that, whether it's been done to you or whether it's been done to somebody else, to have that. But what God forgets, we forget. Turn to Philippians 3:13, 13 verse and to 14. Apostle Paul wrote this. Remember who Paul was before he became Paul? The one who was killing, persecuting Christians, slaying them? Not just the men, but the women and the children? Don't you think Satan didn't have a field day with him about that? Bringing that all up into his face. Oh, now you're Paul now. You're preaching the gospel. And read. Let's read what Paul said about that. Killing, thinking he was doing God's work, doing God a favor, doing the work of God here on the earth as a Roman soldier, killing men and women and children, putting them behind lions and in the, you know, in the as fanfare, as entertainment for the Roman people, you know, at the Colosseum. He did all that. And after he became, he had his encounter with Jesus, got knocked off his horse, got saved, became an apostle. So in Philippians 3:13, he says, maybe he wrote this, maybe this was in his heart right after he got saved and changed, but he says, this one thing I do, number one is, forgetting what lies behind and straining or reaching or pressing forward to what lies ahead. Who does the forgetting? We do. We have to forget. So number one is Paul saying to forget. Forget those things now. Forget. What God's forgotten, we forget. Forgetting what lies behind, straining, sometimes it's a strain to press forward, but strain, press forward to what lies ahead and press on towards the prize of God. Because you can't win if you're not forgetting. Because that forgetting, not forgetting, is going to keep you behind back here. So you have to press forward. And notice those three things. It's an order of advancement that's been listed here by Paul. You won't advance in your ministry. You won't advance in your walk with God. You won't advance spiritually if you neglect to forget, press forward, and eventually get your mind on winning the prize. You can't press forward if you're continually talking about that negative situation that happened long time ago. Your flesh wants to vent, wants to talk about it, thinking, you know, well, this is good therapy. That's why people go to therapists. They talk about it. 2-3 years down the line, they're still talking about that incident. No healing, no advancement. They haven't made any progress. Why? Because they're just simply venting. There's no healing taking place. But just know though, that there's one thing that can heal that constant replay. That's the blood of Jesus. For the enemy will take an event, he'll take a memory, something traumatizing that happened to you, and he'll energize it. What I mean by that is he'll make it come alive. It'll become bigger in your mind. And he'll play that thing over and over and over it again in your mind like a recording. That's what happened to me with what I just shared with you. It just replayed in my mind. I didn't know how to shut it up. It just played. I woke up with it, went to bed with it. And he'll just energize that thing where it seems like it just happened yesterday. And meanwhile, you know, it was quite some time ago. And he will do that. You try to forget it, you try to make it stop, but it keeps replaying in your mind. And if it's not dealt with, you can get into oppression, depression. Even some people even get suicidal because of the torment, the pressure on the head, on the mind from trauma. People who suffer from PTSD and all of these things, whether you went to service or not, you could experience that from a very toxic, abusive relationship. from a rape, from witnessing a murder, you know, things that that just traumatize your mind. If it's not dealt with, it can really, really affect you. But there's one thing that can stop the replay in your mind, and that's the blood of Jesus. That's what we sang about. The blood of Jesus will delete the recording. Y'all have, remember recordings? On your computers, all of you have the delete button, right? Yeah. When you don't want to see something, when something keeps coming back, you just simply press the delete button. And it's nowhere to be found. It's vanished. It's gone. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It's that delete button that we press to take away all of that. Nothing else. Years of counseling, hands laid on you, meeting, talking with the best of therapists, going through, jumping through all these hoops and loops. One encounter with the blood of Jesus, applying the blood of Jesus over your mind, over you, eradicates, washes all that away. Beep. Just like on a computer. That's what the blood of Jesus is. It's our divine help in erasing the replays of your past. It's our divine help. So that is such good news. If I knew this years ago back there when I was going through that, the hell that I went through. I mean, literally the torment and hell that I went through. Had I known this, that it was the blood that would have just cleansed me and washed me from this. And it removed the guilt and the condemnation and the shame that accompanied that to what happened to me. It was so shameful. I was just, and to having to live with that over and over again, not knowing the enemy had an advantage over me then because of my ignorance. I didn't know about the blood. He had a huge advantage over me. Could have even took me out possibly, but didn't. And so that's why we can't be ignorant to these things, because then he employs his devices, he gets the upper hand, and then he holds us in that. But whatever you've given, whatever advantage you've given it to him, guess what? You can take it back. You can take it, just say, give me, take that back. Get out of here, beat it, hit the road. Yeah. Just like somebody comes to your house, they knock first before they can come in, right? You look and it's just like, I'm letting this person in. They'll be here for hours. But the saying the blood of Jesus will delete that recording. Now, this is the last scripture I'm going to share with you, and I'd like everyone to look at this. This is so important. It's in Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 12 to 14. Hebrews, and I'm reading out of the Amplified. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verses 12 to 14. This is what our Lord, your Lord, has done for all of us. Verse 12, he went once and for all, just one time, into the Holy of Holies of heaven, into the presence of God, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, you know, like Cheryl was mentioning before, having obtained and secured eternal redemption, meaning complete redemption, total, nothing missing. And that also means the intensity, the severity of the sin. Even these figures that you could think of in our society, maybe even like Hitler, had... You may say, are you telling me that if Hitler would have repented and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive him and come into his heart and receive his Lord and Savior? Oh, come on. You mean, is that what you're saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. That's how powerful the blood is. Doesn't matter. The sin, the severity, intensity of sin is no match for the blood. No match whatsoever. The blood covers it all. It all. So going on to reading, it secured our eternal redemption, For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a burnt heifer is sufficient for the cleansing of the body, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Holy Spirit willingly offered himself unblemished, and I want you to listen to this next phrase, cleanses your conscience from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God. Listen, if you didn't listen to anything I said all morning, listen to this and write it down. This is powerful. One commentary about Hebrews, what I just read, verse 14, says this. The blood of Jesus purges. We don't have to get into depth what purge means. All of you know what purge means. Purges, eliminates, wipes out, does away with. The blood of Jesus purges the replay of the mind from dead works. Yeah. The blood of Jesus purges the replay of our minds. Those things that you've been traumatized with, those things that plague you, those things that have been dogging you, those things that you can't shake off, those images that you watched on a pornographic site that just won't leave your memory. They just keep dogging you. They keep popping up at times when it's like, my God. And it's the blood of Jesus will purge you from that. Completely. You know what purge means. You know what purging. We don't have to, you know, get into clinical or we all know what purge means. Wipes it out, eliminates, cleanses, washes. That's what the blood of Jesus does. The replay of the mind. The blood of Jesus is our delete button. Eliminating all trauma, all scars of the past. I wish everyone that experienced the loss of a home, the loss of a loved one, who went through those horrific fires in Lahaina, even up those in Kula, some in Kihei, but the majority happened in Lahaina. Those traumas, that, and I hope that someone's listening on Facebook too, because this is for you. Those images, those pictures of the fire, those screams, all of that horrific things, the people jumping in the water, the witnessing, the watching those dead bodies, of watching people die and incinerate, all those horrific things that took place, those images, the children who've seen these things, they need healing in their minds. Their replay has to be purged by the blood of Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's the blood that can only do that. It's the blood, and it'll be instantaneous. I know we know so many people that they're coming to us for counsel, which is good, but I assure you, we lay hands on them and apply the blood. And so many people are going to counselors and seeking therapists just to get past this devastation of what they've seen, what they witnessed. There's only one thing. If we heard one thing over and over again from all these people that we counseled with, and there'll be many, many more, they've all said this one thing. It seems like it just happened yesterday. That's how fresh it is in our minds. You know, it may be 2 months, 3 months. It doesn't matter. To them, that replay of the mind is just replaying that over and over and over again. Those images, the trauma, the scars, the loss of a loved one, those that just built a home 2-3 years, enjoying their home, and within minutes, up in flames. The trauma of that, the trauma of those going back on their property and looking at ashes, not just trying to confiscate, salvage something, just digging through ruins, just something to hold on to as a memory. All of that is traumatizing. But know this, that as Cheryl shared earlier, that Jesus shed blood 7 times. One of the times he shed blood was when they placed that crown of thorns and pressed it into his skull, and blood oozed out. And that blood was shed for the healing of your emotions. That blood was shed for the healing of your mind, your memory, your replays that constantly play over and over and over again. Physical healing. Yes, Jesus is the healer. He can heal cancer, diabetes, any of these things. But it's these replays, these horrific scenarios that just, it's like a loop. It just keeps playing over and over again, over and over again. You get some relief, and there it is again, staring at you when you wake up, and you can't shake it. That's why some precious people have even taken their lives, because they can't get those images and the horror of what they witnessed and took place out of their minds. But Jesus bore blood for that. And the blood of Jesus, I'm here to tell you this morning, is our delete button that will erase all that trauma, all the PTSD, all of the things that have dogged you all your life. The blood will do that. And there's no reboot, you know, on computers and things. You know, there's no reboot. The only way it'll come back is if you drudge it back up. If you're going to drudge it and think about it and then start talking about it again, rehearsing it, well, there you're going to have it. But just like we said, if God forgets it, we forget it. What God forgets, we forget. But that is such good news, knowing about the blood, that we don't have to live under torment and all of that. And you can do away with all your sleep sedatives and things that would help you sleep and just help your mind to settle down. You can do away with all of that because of the blood of Jesus provides that. You can fall asleep on your own in perfect peace. So just envision the blood of Jesus right now over your mind and over those areas that just keep replaying that recording. But just know it's something of the past. It's not fresh. It's not something new. It happened in the past. Doesn't matter if it was 20 years, 10 years, last week, whether it happened last night. The blood of Jesus is so powerful. It can wash it away. And as if, and you know what? Almost make it to where you'll... Say you were one of those in the fires, and you go to think about it or kind of just, you know, talk about it. The blood of Jesus will make it like you're so removed from it. It's almost just like it didn't even really happen to me. That's what the blood will do. You know you went through it. You know what you witnessed, or pertaining to any other situation, not just the fires. The blood of Jesus will do that to where you'll say, I don't even feel like that even happened to me. There's no sting to it. There's no trauma. There's not that nausea, that sick feeling, or the butterflies, or you start breathing heavy. You know, when that starts replaying in your mind, the blood of Jesus cleanses you to where it's like, yeah, I know it happened, but it doesn't even affect me anymore. So with that said, we are going to pray for you in two categories. One, first of all, what I'm speaking about, any type of trauma to the mind, to the replay. It could be anything, something that happened to you 20, 30 years ago, and it still dogs you. Guess what? There's help. There's the blood to press that delete button for you, so that you're going to leave this place free, and that your mind, you'll just be able to, you know, you'll have the right mind. God had not given us a spirit of fear or torment, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Any kind of trauma, anything that may have happened to you, could be a divorce, it could be, you know, anything, something that was done to you in a childhood where you're still, it just keeps playing over and over and over again. And you sought therapy. You may even have seen a psychiatrist about it. And yet, you know, you've gotten a little bit better, but that thing still dogs you. We want to, if you want prayer, we're going to pray. Apply the blood of Jesus over your mind. Second will be if you need physical healing in your body. Today is Healing Sunday. So know that it's healing for your body physically, and then also for the mind, also for the emotions. And just knowing that Jesus is the healer. And your part is, once you come down and receive your healing, don't touch that thing. Don't resurrect it. Don't bring it back up again. You know, just, I'm free. I'm healed from that. Let the blood of Jesus do its work, because it's powerful. And believe me, it will erase and wash you clean. So with that said, we're just going to open up the altars.